Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and State PCs preparation. Today, we mark the 135th birth anniversary of a man who left an indelible mark on modern India, Dr. Bhimrao Ramji Ambedkar, the principal architect of the Indian Constitution, a renowned economist, jurist, social reformer, and the foremost leader of India's anti-caste movement. What makes this significant is that Ambedkar's life and work continue to inspire and influence contemporary India, and his unfinished agenda remains a pressing concern in 2026. Born on 14 April 1891, at Mahow in Madhya Pradesh, into a Mahar family classified as untouchable under the caste system, Ambedkar's early years were marked by a determination to overcome the social and economic barriers that stood in his way. He was the first Dalit to graduate from Elphinstone College in Bombay, and he went on to pursue higher education at Columbia University, where he earned his MA in 1915 and PhD in 1927, with a thesis titled, The Problem of the Rupee, Its Origin and Its Solution. Building on this, Ambedkar also studied at the London School of Economics, where he became the first Indian to obtain a DSc, and he was called to the bar at Gray's Inn in London in 1923. These academic achievements not only demonstrated Ambedkar's intellectual prowess but also equipped him with the knowledge and skills to tackle the complex social and economic issues that India faced during its transition to independence. Now let us turn to Ambedkar's role in shaping India's constitution. The drafting committee of the Constituent Assembly, constituted on 29 August 1947, had 7 members, and Ambedkar was elected as its chairman. The constitution was adopted on 26 November 1949 and came into force on 26 January 1950. Ambedkar's key contributions to the constitution include the concept of constitutional morality, which he emphasized in his final speech to the Constituent Assembly on 25 November 1949. He warned that constitutional morality is not a natural sentiment. It has to be cultivated. We must realize that our people have yet to learn it. Democracy in India is only a top dressing on an Indian soil, which is essentially undemocratic. This concept has been invoked by the Supreme Court in landmark cases, including Navdeep Singh Johar v. UOI, Indian Young Lawyers Association v. Kerala, and NCT Delhi v. UOI. What makes this significant is that Ambedkar's ideas continue to influence India's constitutional discourse and shape the country's democratic trajectory. With that background in place, let us look at Ambedkar's economic thought, which is often overlooked but played a crucial role in shaping modern Indian institutions. Ambedkar's PhD thesis, The Problem of the Rupee, argued that India's currency should follow a gold exchange standard rather than a silver or gold standard. His analysis of fiscal federalism and provincial finance informed the Hilton Young Commission, which led to the establishment of the Reserve Bank of India in 1935. As Labour member in the Viceroy's Executive Council from 1942 to 1946, Ambedkar conceptualized the Employee Provident Fund, which was later implemented as the Employees Provident Funds Act, 1952. He also laid the framework for Employee State Insurance, which became the Employee State Insurance Act, 1948. Ambedkar institutionalized the 8-hour working day for factory workers, introduced a minimum wage framework, and pioneered maternity benefits for working women. And here is something that surprises many students. Ambedkar played a key role in conceiving the Damodar Valley Project, inspired by the Tennessee Valley Authority model, and advocated for the establishment of the Central Water Commission. His blueprint for river valley planning influenced the Bhakranangal and Sone River projects. Now, let us turn to the structural disagreement between Ambedkar and Gandhi, which is often mischaracterized as personal. The Pune Pact of 1932, where Ambedkar relented on separate electorates in exchange for reserved seats, remains debated. Did Ambedkar compromise, Or did Gandhi's fast into death coerce the Dalit community's weaker bargaining hand? In 1936, Ambedkar wrote Annihilation of Caste, which was originally intended as a speech for the Jat Patodak Mandal in Lahore. The organizers withdrew the invitation when Ambedkar refused to modify passages criticizing Hindu scriptures. Ambedkar published the undelivered text at his own expense, and it remains a seminal work in Indian political theory. The central arguments of Annihilation of Caste are worth pausing to note. Ambedkar argued that caste is not a division of labor but a division of laborers, and that inter-caste marriage is the only real solvent of caste. He also contended that caste cannot be reformed within Hinduism because it has Shastric sanction, and therefore, Hinduism itself must be destroyed if caste is to end. Gandhi's response, published in Harijan, defended the Varna system as a division of labor, if not of laborers. Ambedkar's rejoinder, published as A Reply to the Mahatma, remains one of the sharpest texts in Indian political theory. Now, let us turn to the unfinished agenda of Ambedkar's project. On his 135th anniversary, what remains unfinished? The social indicators are telling, hate crimes against SCs-STs continue to be reported at around 50,000 cases per year, according to the National Crime Records Bureau. The intercaste marriage rate remains marginal, at around 5.8% of all marriages, according to the National Family Health Survey 2019-21. The educational gap persists, with the gross enrollment ratio of SC-sent students in higher education still below the national average. But why does this matter? The unfinished agenda of Ambedkar's project has significant implications for India's social justice and democratic trajectory. The landmark judicial invocations of Ambedkar's ideas, including the concept of constitutional morality, demonstrate the ongoing relevance of his thought. Now, let us turn to Ambedkar's relationship with Buddhism. On 14 October 1956, at Nagpur, Ambedkar converted to Buddhism with approximately 500,000 followers in an event known as the Dhamma Chakra Pravartan Din, or the Turning of the Wheel of Dharma. Ambedkar rejected Hinduism's caste sanction but also did not choose Christianity or Islam. His reasons for embracing Buddhism are worth noting. Buddhism is indigenous to India, has a rational tradition, is anti-caste at its core, and is non-theistic. Ambedkar's Buddhism, known as Navayana, or the New Vehicle, distinguishes itself from Theravada and Mahayana traditions. It is particularly strong among Mahar converts in Maharashtra and has spread to other SC communities across India. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Dr. B.R. Ambedkar was born on 14 April 1891 at Mahow in Madhya Pradesh and died on 6 December 1956. He was educated at Elphinstone College, Columbia University, the London School of Economics, and Gray's Inn. Ambedkar was the chairman of the Drafting Committee, India's first law minister, and a key figure in the establishment of the Reserve Bank of India. His key works include Annihilation of Caste, The Problem of the Rupee, and The Buddha and His Dhamma. The key events in his life include the Mahad Satyagraha, the Pune Pact, and his conversion to Buddhism. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? Ambedkar's life and work are relevant to multiple papers, including Modern History, Polity, Social Justice, Labor Economics, and Ethics. Remember this number, 135, the number of years since Ambedkar's birth, and note this carefully, the concept of constitutional morality, which has been invoked by the Supreme Court in landmark cases. In conclusion, Ambedkar's legacy continues to shape India's social justice and democratic trajectory, and his unfinished agenda remains a pressing concern in 2026. The significance of his life and work extends beyond India's borders, offering insights into the complexities of social reform, economic development, and constitutional governance.